This episode is proudly brought to you by Be Parent Surrogacy. Go to BeParentSurrogacy.com to learn more.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
So I started writing, and this was very much, the writing process was during the time that I need to leave my marriage. I'm a lesbian. I want something different. And so, you know, there's so much fear and doubt and turmoil. And the novel became this place that I was just like letting everything come.
Welcome, 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 y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm your host, Jamie, and this is a show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA families in all of our fabulous identities. And this episode doesn't disappoint. It doesn't disappoint on that front. I got to sit down with Hildy, who's a queer mom, also a podcaster and an author. And we dive deep into life with Hildy, and it's a good one. You're going to be entertained. It's a good story. Before I roll that tape, or before Helen and Beulah roll that tape begrudgingly, I wanted to take a second to ask y'all for a little favor. Now, as you probably know, I just launched a new podcast that I'm doing with Jose Rolon, aka NYC Gay Dad, amazing, amazing guy. And the podcast is called Love Take Two. And we are live now, so you can listen to episodes as we speak. And Jose and I have been asking folks to please, 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 if you can, go ahead and rate and review our show, because it's really, really important in the first couple of weeks that we get a lot of ratings and reviews to help the podcast platform see that we are something that they should push forward. So the more we get of this five-star, if you're in the Apple Podcast app, if that's where you listen, the more we get of those five-star ratings, the quicker our show can grow. So we're really pushing for that. But you know what I just realized? I never have asked y'all to do that for this show. So I have a favor, two favors, really, because I want you to do it for both of my shows, please. My mother brought it to my attention last night, and she was like, and my mother's like the biggest fan of this show, obviously, because my mom. She was like, you know what? I've never rated or reviewed your show. And I'm like, what, mom? She's like, I don't even know how. You should tell people how. So I'm taking my mother's advice, and I'm going to tell you how. And right now, the Apple Podcast ratings and reviews really matter for both the shows. But if you are an Apple Podcast, you are looking at the episode, you want to click on the three dots on the top right-hand corner, I believe, that say go to the show. So you click to go see the entire show. Once you're on that page, you scroll down until you see stars across the page. What you want to do is click the five stars. So it's a five-star podcast. And then if you really, really feel inclined to help a queer girl out, go down a little bit further where you can add a comment, a review about how amazing the show is. I would love it if you could do that, not just for Love Take Two, which that would be awesome, but also for this show. I never have asked y'all to do that. And actually, it would be super helpful if you would. Thank you. All right, that's it. I'm not going to ask you for anything else except to listen to this amazing, amazing story that I have for you. All right, Helen and Beulah, it's time. Ladies, take the cigarettes out of your mouths and put the whiskey down, and please come and roll this tape. Here we go.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Hildy.
Hi, Jamie.
It's a pleasure to have you here. We are already cracking up and having fun, so I think this is going to be a really fun conversation.
I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, yay!
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you uplifting queer families and queer people in this community space you've created. It's very powerful. Good work you're doing.
Thank you, and you too, and we're going to hear about it. Right here in this episode. So without further ado, Hildy, I'm going to get your 30-second elevator pitch, please, of who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad. Here we go. On your mark, get set, go.
My name is Hildy Festerling, and I'm a children's writer and storyteller. And for the last 4 years, I've been working on a barnyard gothic podcast, all ages, called The Goat American Novel. And my collaborators, voice actors, are my children, my adult siblings, my ex-husband, my girlfriend, nieces and nephews. And the podcast has been this space for our family to go through all our transitions and make art as our family culture, as artists together.
Boom. You did it. You did it, you pro. You're a podcasting pro is what you are. You forgot to mention that your dad is also a voice, right? Am I wrong?
He is, yes. Well, you know, as the project went on, you know, I started with a limited number of voice actors, and they were so crackerjack. And it just became so clear to me that anytime I have a bit part, I'm going to have a casting call with my family. So, and I ended up actually writing in parts for nieces and nephews. And yes, my dad does have a really juicy little bit part, which my girlfriend completely conceived of and wrote for him. So there's a lot of special interactions making art with the family in the podcast. Yeah.
I love that. Making art with the family. There seems to be kind of a theme happening with my season this year. It's like finding time and finding ways to have quality time with the families. Oh. I've talked to multiple people who are giving me all these ideas, and we're doing a better job in my house actually right now. And this is like this week. Like, I cannot speak for next week or the week after. You know what I mean when it comes to family. But we're doing a really good job right now of spending some quality family time together. So I'm excited to hear. And I might have to, I think my son is really, will love this podcast, the story. So I'm going to start adding that somehow into our lives.
Cool.
With all the things, you know.
Yeah.
But it's so exciting. You know, I do voiceovers too, Hildy.
You have a beautiful voice,
Jamie. That's not true. That's not true. But I am very good at making different voices.
Really?
I have a knack for that. Yeah, I do animated voiceovers.
Oh, that's exciting. Oh, you're in my casting. You're in my casting call now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Good to know. Let's dive in. You have all these wonderful projects to talk about, and I think the folks at home are going to love to hear about them. But first, we have to hear about your family and how it came to be, because you are living in a queer family structure. And it sounds like there's a story there. So let's dive in, shall we, Hildy? Can we take it to the beginning of, let's say, your family building journey, or wherever you want to take it from?
I always thought that I was a bisexual woman. You know, mm-hmm. And in our culture, you know, I grew up in a religious home without a lot of models for making life and a family as a queer person. I married a really kind, good man, and we had two kids, and our kids are special, unusual, interesting, amazing, creative, challenging people, both of them.
That was a very honest description, and I fully appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, they're spectacular, and it's a wild ride. It's a rodeo. So 4 years ago, really right around the time that I started working on this podcast, which is very much part of the story, it's very integral, I really had to come to terms with the fact that, no, I'm not a bisexual woman. I'm a lesbian. You know, what I want from this one life, you know, is to be in a lesbian partnership that is artistic, that's a creative partnership as well. You know, of course, there was a big, scary transition, you know, and like a very amicable separation. And I still consider myself, you know, very much family with my ex. And we have been really creative about how to continue, you know, raising our kids together. And, you know, in a lot of ways, my life is, it's a little bit split.
Yeah. I mean, it's a split household. And with that comes stuff, of course. If I could, I want to dig a little bit into, like, so you always thought you were bisexual, mm-hmm. and you did end up marrying a man, which is mm-hmm. totally normal, especially if you're bisexual. Like, that makes sense. But when you married your husband, had you decided, all right, I'm not going to act on the bisexual? But like, was it like, okay, that's a done deal. I'm not going to act on it. I'm always a bisexual, but Walk me through that.
I mean, we had talked about it and, you know, maybe there's going to be some changes and there's going to be some room. It really became clear to me that I needed to let myself be the person I wanted to be in relationships fully.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, that led to separation, divorce. Yeah. And it was hard, you know. It was really hard to make that transition, and it was hard to be honest about it, you know, and it was hard to feel like, am I putting my, you know, kids in this tumultuous breakup situation? You know, there's this feeling of I'm being selfish, but, you know, my kids got it. My ex understood it too, you know, and now having moved forward and, you know, having found this really wonderful partnership, you know, that is, you know, really what I wanted.
It's worth it.
It was worth it. It was the right thing to do. Yeah. You can't live in your lie. You can't live in a lie.
And, you know, them parenting experts are always saying you have to do what makes you happy and it will be better for your children. Like, don't live in misery and think that it's going to do a good thing for your kids, right? Yeah. That's what they say. I don't know. I'm not an expert. I screw this parenting thing up daily. So, but
I think that part seems to be right.
Right. Exactly. Like, that's what we do.
Yeah.
But, you know, you did what was right for you. And if you're happy, your kids, you know, you'd hope your kids are going to be happy too. I don't know though. I'm not a parenting expert, but
my older kid is queer and they're trans, and I will get into that for sure more. But it was very, you know, they were moving into adolescence and beginning to, I mean, we always knew they were queer, but they were really just on the cusp of starting their gender journey and figuring out who they were. And so there was this big place of, I'm proud of you, mom, for living your truth. Aww. And I'm scared, but I know you have to do what's right and I understand this. And then, And then my younger kid was young, but has this, Felix, my little one, has this profound empathy. And he is his sibling's like biggest ally, you know? And he's the best ally in the world. Like, I don't think he's ever misgendered or deadnamed his sibling. He was like immediately got it, integrated, no problem. He is just going to grow up to be one of these men who like understands queerness so deeply, you know? Mm-hmm. And so both of my kids were like really amazing, amazing allies to me.
And I feel like growing up in a queer household, it does help to instill a good amount of empathy because, you know, they see what it's like to be othered, even if it's a little tiny bit of othering. I do feel like our children are just immersed in a bit more of an empathetic space and it seeps into them.
Yes. Well, I agree. And deeply about empathy. And also there's another piece of it too, which is culture, right? Culture switching. Mm. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have been living rurally. And so the dominant culture around us, you know, that the kids are at in their schools is rural. It's conservative. And so, you know, they have to understand about code switching to a certain degree, you know?
Right, exactly. You're saying it so much better than me. Thank you. Keep going.
Well, you said it really well. I mean, it's two different pieces, you know, the empathy right, is the biggest thing, but also it's a powerful thing to build into your brain that, hey, there are different cultures with different norms and I can move between them and I can represent my home culture where I go and be a support. And understand that not everybody can walk around with all their masks off all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So true. So true. Like in our household, we say the word lesbian very openly. And we joke about lesbians and we lesbian that, lesbian this and lesbian that. They go to their friends' houses and that word is not said. And they see that, oh, that might be a word that I shouldn't like say multiple times in a sentence in a joking way because people take it differently. And so it's stuff like that. It's little tiny things like that. For me, they're tiny minuscule things, but they're seeing it, they're experiencing it, they're understanding oh, what my mom is not necessarily something that is fully accepted.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay. But I know it's a totally cool thing. And I love my mom.
Yes.
Right?
So,
So we're raising a little empathetic code switching.
It's true. It's true.
Beans. Yeah. Good for us.
Yeah.
Awesome. Your kids are super supportive. You're a lesbian now. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm sure you got your toaster
it's
in the mail.
It's good to be here.
It's so good to be on this side, isn't it?
I mean, you
did the right thing. And in my opinion. And then a partner came into the mix. And let's walk me down the path. I want to hear.
So, you know, I met Mandy and she's a poet and English teacher. And I'm a fiction writer and, you know, right. So right away, you know, it's funny too, because I had this very strong knowing, this very deep knowing that, you know, not only am I lesbian, but I really want to be with another woman who is an artist. And I was open-ended as far as what that meant, but somebody who, you know, had art as being very primary in her life. And it's funny, you know, I often say now, because she very quickly became my writing partner in this incredible way. And now I feel like, you know, everything I write, like I've always been a productive writer and growing in my skill, but it was like her skills as a poet and an editor just filled in so many gaps. It was like, oh, what this writer needed was another writer. And it's been really fun too, because she's gotten really involved in the podcast. She had never written fiction before. And so she has been learning how to understand how fiction is written through this process. So, you know, our collaboration has been really powerful. So she doesn't parent my kids really. Like, she's like more of like an auntie kind of character in their life, which is like, that's kind of what everybody wanted. She didn't have a desire to be a step parent. And I don't feel a need for a step parent, but she has this like really nice, you know, she does have a really nice relationship with my kids.
That's awesome. And you know, whatever works best for you. And you two have been together for a while now, or is this relatively new, or like?
Yeah. Two years.
Mm-hmm. 2 years. 2 years. And it's working.
Yeah.
And she's auntie. I love that. I mean, like, our best friends are auntie to all our kids. Like, our kids call our group of friends, it's all Aunt Karen, Aunt Toby,
yes,
Aunt Liz, it's aunt. And then there's one husband. Most of them are gay, but there's one hetero couple and there's a husband in the mix. And they call him Aunt Pat. Just to keep it real. Just to keep the theme alive. But he's Aunt Pat. And has been, like, since all the kids were, and there's a bunch of kids, and I'm Aunt Jamie, you know. It's what we do. It's what we do.
Well, that's what a goat herd is like.
Herd. See, I don't know much about goats.
This is what a goat herd is like. It's like a matriarchy, you know, with, like, a bunch of moms and a bunch of kids, and it's very, like, butch-led. Goat herd, you know, it's like these tough women raising their kids together.
That tracks. Mm-hmm. Okay. Lesbians, greatest of all time. The goats.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Lesbians for the win right there. Everything is working out really great. And
yeah,
the kids are well adjusted and you know, they have both their parents and they have Aunt Mandy. That's great. And it worked. And how did your family take your coming out?
I tried to come out to my parents when I was like 12. I think there was really a feeling when I married a man of like, we won. You know?
Right. That's behind you now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been challenging. My brother and my sister, though, have been really, like, there was no, you know, problem for them. Well, I knew I was queer, but here's the attitudes I ingested. You know, here's the attitudes that shaped me. Mm-hmm. And it's not hard for me to see why I made the decisions that I made when the deep underlying belief was that the right thing to do is to settle down in a heterosexual, familiar relationship.
I hear you. Think of how many more countless people have made that choice and lived it their whole lives.
Yeah. This wasn't my experience, but I had a number of friends who came out to, you know, their grandmother or their mom. And the mom or grandmother was like, oh, well, no, that's, you just grow out of that.
Meaning I'm gay too, don't worry.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my God. I've never experienced that. Wow. Damn.
Like, ugh, oh, God,
that's
mom?
So heartbreaking.
Again, okay, not my mom? Experience, but yeah, it is heartbreaking. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. God, the things we can do to ourselves and not even realize it. Some people don't even realize how how much they've repressed something, right? Things are deep down. We can mask real well. That's the truth.
You know, and it's really like, who's funner than gay people? Like, who's more creative than gay people? Like,
nobody.
Why wouldn't you want to be gay?
We're the best. It is really so much better over on this side. Like, if people would just get the memo, y'all, it is so much more free.
Yeah.
It is so much more enlightened. Like, it's so fun here. Come on in. The water's great.
If you're a lady listening, if you're one of those ladies watching the L word and crying late at night, listening to this podcast.
It's so dark.
This is your sign.
Come on out.
Come on over.
Come on out. It's sunny over here. It's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's crazy. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
All right, y'all. Just want to drop in real fast to talk about the sponsor of this here episode, Be Parent Surrogacy. There is no right way to make a family. There is only your way. And Be Parent Surrogacy is here to help. They really, really understand the queer community, and they are here to support us every step of the way. Be Parent offers full service support from matching with surrogates and egg donors to legal guidance, emotional support, and they walk alongside you every step of the way. They're really great. I love them. And I think you will too. So whether you're actively planning to start your family or just starting to ask questions or somewhere in the middle, Be Parent meets you exactly where you are. I know, I've interviewed them and they really are doing the work and they are walking the walk and talking the talk. And I appreciate them for that. So go to beparentsurrogacy.com to learn more. Oh, also mention the Queer Family Podcast when you reach out to them, and any service you end up booking, you will get $2,000 off. BeParentSurrogacy.com. Start that family building journey today and then come tell me about it. Okay, back to the episode.
Love is love.
So you affirmed who you were and your oldest affirmed who they were, and it's still obviously a process. We don't stay who we are. It's constant. So do you want to go into that?
He uses he, they pronouns. I'll probably use they just because then it's like not confusing. So we know who I'm talking about. But, you know, they identify as like non-binary trans mask. It's been a fascinating journey, you know?
Yeah.
It's been so powerful to watch them live into that. And I think like it's so different. It's so different from when we were kids to have all these resources about gender.
Yeah, resources and words.
Yeah.
You know, like there was gay, there was lesbian, there was bisexual.
Yeah.
And then there was trans, but it was this like it wasn't really. In my world, it wasn't really talked about. I didn't know any trans people. I know many now. And there's resources now. There are more. There's not enough, clearly.
Yes.
And there's not enough education out there to educate the ignorant. That's for sure.
You know, it's really interesting because, you know, I started writing the story that would become the podcast. And, well, I want to tell you a little bit about the writing because it's really intermingled.
Okay, let's do it.
So my younger son, Felix, is dyslexic, and he has a very particular taste in literature. And he loves to be read to, but it's hard to find books. He has this kind of old-fashioned sensibility. He wants to read this very kind of quirky, old, very detailed books. And and I wanted to write something for him. So we had a herd of goats. We had a hobby farm. And one of our goats had an absolute, like, disaster birthing. And then it was like cascading complications. It was like months. I was like, I had to be basically just full on goat nurse midwife for about 3 months, taking care of these baby goats and their mom who were sick and had all these problems, you know. And it was like going out to the barn like every couple of hours, including in the night, you know. And then in the night, I was feeling, you know, it's kind of spooky and it's beautiful and there's the barn, and feeling the story start to develop in my body. You know, I could feel like there's a novel coming, and it's the one I'm going to write for Felix, you know. So I started writing, and this was very much the writing process was during the time that I need to leave my marriage. I'm a lesbian. I want something different. And so, you know, there's so much fear and doubt and turmoil. And the novel became this place that I was just like letting everything come in this joyful way. And the novel, you know, when I look back at it now, especially the goat herd, the novel is filled with alternative families. There's a lot of characters, which I let a lot of characters come in. Normally writing for kids, it's like, okay, we got one character and a couple of sides. No, this is like so many characters, all of these plot strings. And I really see it now as this joyful exploration that I was allowing myself to have, this joyful exploration of what are different ways to live. What are different ways to be in family? What are different characters that moms can be, you know? And so I started, when I was about halfway written, I started reading it aloud to the kids. They'd always been my listening boards, especially my older kid, AJ, is really literary. And I had always gone to him for advice about stories. But when I started reading this one to them, something really different happened. And I'll tell you a little story about it. So early in the story, there is a goat cart, and there's a lot of attention paid to this goat cart. It's this beautiful antique goat cart that a child finds. And it's this very, it's an almost spiritual moment. And I knew that the goat cart doesn't come back until the very end of the story. It's brought back for the climax. But the kids were saying, you know, Felix said, like, Mom, like, where's the goat cart? Like, why aren't they using the goat cart? You know, and I was like, ooh, teachable moment, right? And I was like, kids, have you ever heard of Chekhov's gun? Like, if you introduce something, you have to reincorporate it. You can't just put a plot element out there and then just leave it. It's got to come back. And it was like, I saw both of them, this thing happened in their brains. They were like, oh. This is how you write a story. And then all of a sudden, in this very powerful way, the two kids became the writer's room. And then they would say, you know what? We haven't heard from this character in a while. So you remember I said that I allowed all these characters to come in. Well, these two made sure that nothing was left dangling. We haven't heard from this one for a while. What are you going to do with this? I think you should do this.
It's giving me like Game of Thrones, George R. R. Martin like vibes, because he introduced so many characters that I heard in the end that he had to have like a team of people like reminding him who's who, and you have to bring them back, and this one died. No, you killed that one off. And
they were on it. They were like, we need to hear from that. We need to hear from that cat. We need to hear from this, you know, and what do you think is going to happen? And also I had characters based on them. And so it became very much more than anything I'd ever written before. It became this powerful collaboration of writing with them. And, you know, there was this moment where I was really struggling as I was finishing it. I was really struggling. I'm like, what am I going to do with the villain? Right? It's always a big question, especially in children's books. The villain needs to be vanquished. And what is an appropriate vanquishing? Right? And I thought, well, it's for Felix. I'm writing it for Felix. So I'm going to ask him. Felix, mm-hmm. I took him for a walk. Felix, what are we going to do about this villain? I said, he could be eaten by his own illegal pet tiger, or he could be arrested, but I don't feel very satisfied by either one of those. And he was like, yeah, I don't care for that either. And then I'm not going to spoil it because it's really stuff that only happens in the very last episode. But okay. He came up with this. Like, he was like, Mom, I know, blah, blah, blah. And the idea that he had brought together not only the villains, this amazing ending for the villain that I never would have thought of, it also reincorporated two other major unsolved plot problems. It finished off two other character stories, like a neat little, perfect little bow. And it was so funny and so creative. I was like, you know, so it was this powerful thing of this kid who can't read. He can now, but he couldn't read. Mm-hmm. But he had this profound understanding of storytelling and writing. It mm-hmm. was amazing. Yeah. And that's to me, awesome. It's like, this is the best ending. I never would have thought of this, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so for my older kid, you know, they, when I was writing, they weren't identifying as trans or even non-binary. They were just like, well, I'm queer, I'm pan, I don't know, you know? And so I have this character inspired by them that's a girl. Mm-hmm. And that has been such a deep thing. So, you know, I realized I wanted it to be a podcast, and I thought about my older siblings. Because my older brother and sister are like, they were like my heroes, you know, and they were always in the school plays and recitals, and they have great voices, both of them. My sister's an opera singer. So I was like, oh, I'm going to get them to be voice actors, right? Mm-hmm. And then I started to think, well, what about AJ, who at that time was not AJ, but what about them? Maybe they should voice the character that's based on them. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of indecision about it because I didn't want to be like a YouTuber exploiting their kid. I don't care for that.
Right.
And I also was like, they're heading into early adolescence. Like, are they going to be pissed at me and refuse to record? Real question, you know?
Real. That's real.
Right? Mom, guess what? I'm quitting the pod. No. Well, it never happened. And the last years of their life have been very tumultuous. Early adolescence, transition from childhood to adolescence, very hard time. And, you know, they're autistic and they have ADHD and they're non-binary trans. Like, it's been a hard time in their life.
Lots of stuff, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of parenting, a lot of difficult parenting. Mm-hmm. And the podcast became this place where they came. And we would just, even if we had just been like having it out, they could set it aside and come and record. And their voice work in the podcast is so good. And their voice work really grew. They really grew into their gender. And it was like, well, I had these lines written, and you can hear in the first episodes, I have a much more femme conception of their character. Mm. And as we come to the end of the story, you know, the podcast is it's concluded now. The character that they play really steps to the fore and becomes a hero. And even though, like, the dialogue was written, of course it changed when we went into recording. And I really saw them step into this heroic role and be able to put more of themselves with certainty and confidence of knowing who they are into their acting. And it became really a place for me to see because, you know, it was this weird tension, you know, and I was like, well, do you want your character to transition? And they thought about this a lot. Mm-hmm. And finally, they said, no, I like the character as she is, but I do headcanon this character as trans femme.
Perfect.
They were like, okay. Layla is a trans girl, so I can really understand her experience because I'm a trans boy, right?
Look, yeah, great.
And I also see in the ways that I wrote the character some of the ways that I had a conception of having a daughter that were not true. And so their character evolves, you know, over the space of recording. And it's very precious to me, you know, to have this record of their changes and of their growing into themselves. And I tell you, like, if you have an adolescent who you have a challenging but deep relationship with, like, find the place where your interests meet and go there. And if it can be an art project you're making together, go there. Because that was our refuge for our shared passion. And all of our troubles never entered into it. This was a safe, it was a sacred space for making art.
That's
and
awesome.
It was, it's been so good for our relationship. And so good for seeing, for me seeing them, who they are.
That's amazing. Yeah. And it's a testament to like helping through transitions with connection and art. That's profound and beautiful. And it's great that you have that kind of time capsule now to hold on to and to remember. And it's great that you found something to help them through a really tricky time of life.
Yeah.
Right. And it's kind of a blueprint for how to move forward in the next tricky times.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Because
that's not going to be the only tricky time.
Right.
Sadly,
it's like, okay, what's the next art project that our whole family does? You know?
Right. Right. Totally. And you were talking before we recorded a little bit about being a children's writer and weaving queer and the weird line between how much queerness to put into it. I would love to delve into that a bit because it's really actually important and something that needs to be brought up.
Well, you know, in my life, like I'm very out and proud, right? I'm very out of the closet. I'm happy to be out of the closet. And I work with kids in schools, you know, in a very we're in a conservative, relatively conservative part of Washington State, rural area. You know, I work teaching kids theater and there's a big tension for me. There's a big tension because I want to be out and I want to be really affirming and explicit, not explicit, but, you know, very honest about my queerness to the kids that I work with who, you know, they want to know, right? Queer kids want to know, like, is our theater teacher gay? Is this writer gay? You know? Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, like, Jamie, I don't know if you know, but like, children's literature is like the queerest canon. Like, if you think about books you read when they were a kid, it's almost definitely written by a queer person. Frog and Toad, Maurice Sendak, The Moomins, like, it goes on and on and on. It's the queerest canon, you know? And so I think there's a big history of queer children's artists, right? You know, because we are so much exploring this theme of what's important, what did we cover up in our childhood, what's hidden in our childhood, and what is family, you know, and what's special about me, you know? These are themes for children and queer people and camp also, liked by both groups.
Yeah, totally.
So, but, you know, so I really want to be out, you know, really out for my audience. On the other hand, there are a lot of queer children who live in conservative spaces who would not be allowed to read a queer book, listen to a queer podcast. And, you know, even like my girlfriend grew up very much in the closet, right? She talks so much about the importance of finding stuff that was silently queer, that was safe, right?
Yeah.
So where she could find herself and see herself and explore her queerness in a way that was sublimated, that was kind of hidden. And also, you know, we live in this crazy conservative time where queer stuff is banned, you know, and I'm
queer
lucky.
Queer stuff is getting censored.
Censored. Yeah. Right. So I'm lucky in that podcasting is a very democratic medium. Like nobody is not publishing my podcast. Like that's not your, I get to publish my podcast. Right.
So far, podcasting has remained safe. And even social media is not safe anymore. I get shadow banned on all my channels because queer is in my title.
Yeah.
So they don't push my videos out, right? So yeah. It's really happening. It's happening. It's literally happening. The censorship is ramping up for sure.
Yeah.
So scary.
You know, the Goat American novel, it was like, I teeter-tottered with it, right? So there's queer characters in the novel, lots of them.
Right.
In the story, you know, but it's not on the front cover, right? It's not like, mm-hmm. oh, this is a queer thing. Right. But it is like, well, I say, you know, this is for alternative families. This is all ages. This is for all types of families. And then the queerness kind of, it starts small. I mean, it starts in that, like, the story is filled with alternative families, right? Especially, like, the butch goat matriarch herd, you know? It's like this, like, the butch goat collective of so mothers. Gay. It's so super gay. Gay. It's super
gay. Do they gay. Sit so, around and knit?
Yeah. Well,
so queer. So with their little goat hooves.
Yeah. And like,
scarf.
Butting each other. Yes.
Yeah.
But then there's this queer goat, you know, who's like a teenager. And like there's a couple of yearlings, and two of the yearling goats are like, oh, the Billy, like this year we're going to go to the Billy. It's our time. We're going to go to the Billy, you know. And this third goat is like, no, you know, not having it. And then this goat, like kind of like the goat, like the teenager goat, the yearling goat kind of has like a little crush on the teenager human girl, you know, which is like. It's kind of this cute reversal, right? Because, like, I think a lot of kids have, like, early crushes on a cartoon character, you know?
Yeah.
So this is, like, this funny little switch of it, you know? And it's, like, she ends up, like, being that girl's, like, pet, you know, her personal goat, which is, like, very much, like, her. And she kind of has this coming out, like, I'm not meant for the life of a nanny goat, you know? I'm never going to go to the Billy, you know? She has this very just, like, sweet kind of slow burn coming out over the story. And it's something that wouldn't be obvious right away, you know? So it kind of slowly develops. And then in the last episode, I have this big gay meet cute for our farmhand that was like such a delight for me to write. There's this boy farmhand played by my brother. He has a big gay meet cute in the end, you know? And it's like, for this story, it was like every character needs to have a little gift at the end, you know? All the characters, they went through so much hardship and so much difficulty, and they all get a little present at the end, right? Each character gets a little sweet, happy ending, a little tiny happy ending. And it was like hard to come up. And I didn't have one for the farmhand until I started writing this. And I knew he would meet up with this other kind of minor character to do some farm work at the very end. But it wasn't until I got to the page that there was like crackle, crackle, you know, these sparks flying between him and this other young man, you know, and that was really like exciting for me. And it was really cute because when I was reading it to the kids, right away, my kid was like, what's going on? Are these guys flirting? What's happening here? You know, it was like the chemistry between these two characters at the end was like, so by the end of it, you're like, oh yeah, this is a very gay book, but it's not like gay on the covers, but that it's a balancing act because I want it to be accessible to all the kids who need it, who need that story.
To the kids who really need it, right. Yeah, yeah. And then hope that the parents have already okayed it and aren't paying attention as it goes along, because then it gets super queer, it sounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the gay agenda.
Yeah. It's the gay. Well, listen, we got to do something.
Yeah.
That gay agenda. Mm-hmm. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Okay, cool. So, you know, if you're looking for something for your kids and you to do, like maybe that can be your family thing, you know, listen to this podcast and listen to the story. And
well, thank you. You know, what I like to say is like our archetypal audience is a family on a road trip, and like whatever that family is, there is stuff in there for all ages. In fact, I have listeners from all seven living generations. I have some.
Amazing.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was really designed to be all ages because I wanted it to be fun, and definitely have some like gay moms in my audience who have a big crush on my sister's character. So that is very fun for me. that my listeners, you know, are like, ooh. It's a really fun story. It's all finished now and it's all streaming. You can listen to it for free. It's made by my family, you know. So awesome. It's really, it's the thing to listen to with your family, and you can listen to it on a road trip, or you can do collage together, do some painting together, and maybe you'll get inspired to do some voice work of your own.
Yeah, totally. And it's, you know, this season is turning into ways to get your kids off screens.
Yeah.
Ways to protect your family and ways to get your kids off screens. That seems to be how my season is shaping up. There's kind of a theme here. Because we all need to take care of ourselves right now in these crazy times we're finding ourselves in. And so little things like this, you know, take some time, do some things with your family, whoever the family happens to be.
Yes. Whoever your family is. Yes. Yes.
Take some time and do some things that don't include a phone in front of your face.
Yeah. Get out your watercolors.
Yeah. It's so funny. My wife just took out some watercolors the other day. I have this whole, she loves puzzles. And so I've been doing this whole thing on social media where I make fun of how much she loves puzzles. And, you know, it's like a recurring theme. But we've actually all gotten into puzzles in the family now.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's fun and it's good times. And then she just finished a puzzle and she came out of the kids' room and she brought like this watercolor kit. She was like, you know, I think this is going to be my next thing. I was like, oh my God. And I wish I had on video right now.
Yes, and.
Because it's just, yes, and let's go. I'm going to put it in the window for you. Let's get going. So this is going to be a whole nother fun thing that we're going to be a part of. It's fun. But, you know, find those things and tell everybody where they can find all you and all the stuff.
The podcast is The Goat American Novel. The Goat American Novel, and it's on whatever podcast streaming services. I think it's on YouTube as well, though there's no video, but you can just listen to the audio. And I also do a lot of writing on Medium, so at Hildy Festerling, and I write a lot about everything we've been talking about, making art with kids and for kids and queerness and family. So you can come if you're on Medium, check me out at Hildy Festerling. Those are the two best places. Have a listen to the podcast. It's very, very fun. And you can hear all my talented family members doing their crazy voice work as goats and twerking alpacas and
Well, I mean, if you did the whole podcast in the voice you did for Felix, I would be all in. That was a voice.
Yeah.
He sounded a little German.
Well, Mom, people with dyslexia, they have difficulty saying the vowels.
Oh, my God. I love it. I could listen to that all day long. You have to tell a lot of stories in that voice because I love it.
It will do.
Amazing.
Thank you, Jamie.
This has been so great, Hildy. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, thanks. This has been a really fun conversation.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge thank you to our sponsors of this here episode, Be Parent Surrogacy. Learn more about them. Find the links to their websites in the show notes. Make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about them.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Pride Daily.
Hi there, I'm Kev McGraw, and this is Pride Daily. A homophobic TikToker's crying his little heart out over AI videos portraying him as gay. Next, as video games firm Electronic Arts is sold to a Saudi-led consortium, is their LGBTQ+ content at risk? And Sylvester Stallone's wife says the children of Hollywood stars turn out transgender because their lives lack structure. Sylvester's clearly the brains of the outfit. Pride Daily is the world's only daily LGBTQ+ news podcast, bringing you the top three global stories in just 2 minutes. Everyone's welcome. Search Pride Daily in your pod app.